And it's really amazing that you were able to take that time. I think it's very, very important to take the time to prepare spiritually for Pesach. And I'm very happy that you were able to find the time to do so. Yesterday, for those of you who were in shul, we read Parshat HaChodesh. Okay, and the very, very beginning of Parshat HaChodesh, the very first mitzvah that was given to Bnei Israel as a nation is actually Rosh Chodesh. Okay, it says HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem in your source booklet, source number one, Rosh Chodeshim, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana. Okay, this month will be for you the first of all the months. Okay, it's the first to all the months of the year. Now Rashi says that the pshat of that pasuk means what? That Nisan will be the very first month of the Jewish year. We know for certain things, you know, sometimes we say Tishrei is the first month, but for other things, Nisan is considered the first month of the year. But Rashi goes on to say that this is also the source for the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And we actually discussed this a few months ago. You know, Moshe said, how will I know when it's Rosh Chodesh? And Hashem points to the sky and it shows them him what the moon looks like when it's Rosh Chodesh. And this is really the first time we hear about Rosh Chodesh. This is the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh. And the question we need to really ask is, why dafka was Rosh Chodesh chosen to be the very first mitzvah for Bnei Israel to receive as a nation? Right? It seems kind of random. Here they are. They're about to leave Mitzrayim. They're coming out of slavery. And Hashem says, wait, before you go anywhere, I need to just tell you about this day, which is like a quasi-holiday that you're going to have to keep, Rosh Chodesh. Ma kesher, right? What does that have to do with anything? So Rav Soloveitchik explains that there's actually a very strong connection to between Rosh Chodesh, the holiday which celebrates the idea of sanctifying time, and the fact that they became a free people. If you look inside your source sheet, in source number two, it says, time awareness is the singular faculty of the free man who can use it or abuse it. To a slave, it is a curse or a matter of indifference. It is not an instrument which he can harness to his purposes. The free man wants time to move slowly because, presumably, it is being employed for his purposes. Okay, he says that the very definition of freedom is control over time. A slave has no control over his own time, and now that they are free men, they control their own time, they need to take responsibility to sanctify their time and to use it well. Okay, in the Haggadah, we know there's a debate as to when the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziyat Mitzrayim, telling about the Exodus, begins. Right, at what point do we have the obligation to tell over the story of the Exodus? Okay, the ultimate conclusion is, when do we have the obligation? When do we tell over the story of Yitziyat Mitzrayim? At the Seder. But the Haggadah goes through a discussion. It says, Yachol me Rosh Chodesh. I might have thought that we should start telling the story when? Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the question is, why? Why would we start 2 weeks earlier? The Exodus didn't happen then. Why would we even think that that's when we should start telling over the story? And so Rav Mirsky, in his book, the Hagioneh Halacha, in source number three, he says that Rosh Chodesh is really the beginning of the Geula, of the redemption. In what way was the Geula started on Rosh Chodesh? Kivan she'ra'inu she'Rosh Chodesh nimsar zmanam b'yadeihem. Since we see that on Rosh Chodesh, time was given to them in their own hands, kederech ben chorin, like a free person, she'sha'otav b'yado, that his hand is in his own hands, v'leficha'ch haya Rosh Chodesh t'chila l'chirut. And therefore, Rosh Chodesh, in essence, was really the beginning of the redemption process. And that's why we might have actually thought we should begin telling the story of Yitziyat Mitzrayim on Rosh Chodesh. So we see from here that really, each month we talk about different aspects of Rosh Chodesh, and the aspect here we're going to talk about here is the idea that Rosh Chodesh is really a time where we learn how to sanctify our own time. Right? Each month we need to take the time on Rosh Chodesh to analyze and see if we are using our time as productively as possible. Now, what does it mean to use time productively? Okay, throughout the Torah, there are many people who are described as being zakin ba bayamim, right? Old and coming in days. What does that mean to be old and coming in days? So I think the pshat would be well on in years. Right? But another way we can understand it is ba bayamim.
Repeat that. What did you say, coming of what?
Coming in days. Ba bayamim. Coming with days. Okay, so what does that mean, coming with days? So one way to understand it is that somebody can live a full life, 120 years, and go up to Shamayim and find out that how many years did they really live? 20, 30, okay? the rest of his time was really wasted. So our goal must be to enter Olam Haba with all of our days. All of these people, Abraham, Sarah, Yaakov, Yehoshua, who are called Baba Yamim, came with all of their days. Every single moment, every single day of their lives was well spent, and therefore when they came up to Shamayim, they were able to come with all their days. They were Baba Yamim. An example of somebody who used every moment of time is a story that's told about Rav Zelig Ruvain Bengis, arrived in Lithuania in the 1800s. So Rav Bengis used to complete the entire Gemara every few years. And every few years he would have a Siyum Hashas, call all of his family, friends, students to come celebrate with him. And one time he had had a Siyum, and like 3 months later he called together his family again for another Siyum. And they said to him, "You just had a Siyum, how are you celebrating another Siyum of completing the entire Gemara now?" And he answered, he said, "This Siyum is something different. This Siyum marks the completion of the Gemara that I did over the course of many, many years, a few minutes at a time. I realized that I had a lot of time, you know, I was traveling, I was at a simcha, I was waiting online, I had a few minutes here and there, so I started carrying around with me a little Gemara. And through the course of those few minutes here and there, I eventually was able to complete the entire Shas." So we see that even with a few minutes here and there, we can do so much with every moment of our time. The Or HaChaim asks a question in source 4. He says, "Ma zot asa lanu Elokim? What is this that Hashem did to us? Manishtanu dorotinu midorot harishonim? How is it that our generation is different from every other generation? Asher savu chaim teisha mayot shana v'shloshim la'adam. It used to be, Adam HaRishon lived how long? 930 years. And slowly over time, the amount of years each person was given was less and less and less until today, where most people live till 80, 90, maybe 100. But nobody lives till 900 anymore. And he asked this question, you know, it seems like almost like Hashem is punishing us. Why is it that he gave us such a shorter lifespan? And he answers with a mashal, and he says, there was once a king who called together all his craftsmen, and he said, "I want each of you, I'm going to give you each a certain amount of stones, and I want you to make those stones into jewels." So he gave them each 300,000, 350,000 stones and said, "Okay, you have one day for each stone, and I want you to take all these stones and make them into these jewels. And afterwards, I'll call you together on a certain date, and we'll see what you did." So what happened? 350,000 days later, he calls everyone together and says, "Let me see your stones." What did they look like? Not jewels. They were, not only were they not jewels, the stones had been ruined over time. And he, of course, got very angry. And he punished them, he dismisses them, and he hires the next generation to come and do the same thing. But this time he's smarter. What does he do? He doesn't give them 300,000 stones, he gives them 30,000 stones. Because he realizes that without that time deadline, without, you know, if they have too many, they can't make the most of every stone, and they don't even see, it's like so far off that they just kind of waste the time. And all of a sudden, the time comes and they haven't done anything. And so Hashem looked at us and he said, "You know what? People can't maximize every moment of 900 years. I'll give them less years, and that way they'll have an opportunity to really take advantage of every moment. And they'll also realize that the time deadline is a lot closer. And they realize time is ticking away, and they'll make sure to use every single day in a positive way." Now, unfortunately, even though I'm sure that is helpful, often many of us don't really get the chance to really feel that way, to really understand this gift of time of every single day that we need to take advantage of. So this is really a very profound lesson. Each day given to us by Hashem is really, truly a gift. Right? At the Gaon birthday parties, right, they always sing a song. They sing, "Eze yom sameachu, kibalti ot shana b'matana." Every single year, every single day is really a gift. It's a precious stone. Right? The year is made up of 365 days, meaning 365 stones, which could become jewels. Right? If we cut, polish, clean, these, they'll become diamonds, right? But we ruin them by wasting them. How much time do we spend on Facebook, on WhatsApp, right? All these things, even if there's nothing wrong with them, but how much time are we wasting? What else could we be doing with our time? Right? And as the saying goes, and I really hate this saying, people say, you know, what, we needed to kill some time so we did something. We're killing time, right? And as slaves in Mitzrayim, we were given avodat parech. What's avodat parech? So some people translate it as meaning back-breaking work. But the Rambam, in Hilchot Avadim, when he talks about the laws of having servants, he says that avodat parech means work that has no time limit and that is not needed, that is not meaningful. Okay, so, and based on that, Chazal say that someone who has a servant, the halacha is that they're not allowed to tell the servant, you know, go do this work in the field until whenever I come back. There needs to be a deadline. There needs to be, until 5 o'clock, I want you to do this. Or until you finish planting the seeds in all these five rows. There needs to be some type of meaning, some type of structure to what they're doing. And that's the idea of what slavery was in Mitzrayim, right? The Egyptian master would torture the slaves by giving them completely meaningless work, right? Simply to keep them busy. Right? I know when I taught in Hebrew school, I tried to illustrate this point. So I divided the kids up into two teams, and they each had a bucket of water and a little dropper, and they had a relay race where they had to run back and forth trying to get the water to the bucket on the other side using a little dropper. Right? That's what it means to be a slave, because even, let's say, they needed the water on the other side of the room, but it could have been done, obviously, a lot more efficiently. But when you know you're doing just completely meaningless work, you're just wasting your time, that's when you feel like you're truly a slave. You have no control over time. You can't do anything productive with your time. And as free men, we need to recognize and appreciate the fact that we actually have control over time. We can make a conscious decision to use that time well and to use it meaningfully. Right? And life is very fast-paced, and we're so caught up in the day-to-day that we don't really get a chance to stop and think about how we're using our time. So the idea of Rosh Chodesh is to take a few minutes to sit back and think about the past month. How have we used our time? Did we waste time? Did we accomplish as much as we would have wanted to? And that's really a way that we can take Rosh Chodesh and use it to bring our time to a higher level. Sorry, do you know if Rabbi Karkowski is here yet? Talking about how much time we have here. Theoretically, I'm done, but if he's not here, then I'll tell you another insight here. all right, until he walks back in, I'll say. So there's a second aspect of time. Okay, there's a lot of times we feel that time controls us. Okay, and it says in Kohelet, La kol zman ve'et l'kol chifetz tachar ha'shamayim. For everything, there is a time, right? Times and situations dictate to us what type of time it is. Life situations are thrown at us, and we're not always given a choice in the matter, right? We have, you know, a time of giving birth, a time of death, and we sometimes feel that we're in certain time situations, and that's the situation we're in, and there's nothing we can do about it. But I read once, Rav Shlomo Aviner has a perush on Kohelet, which I really recommend. I read this at a point when I was pregnant, so it really, I remember reading this and, like, crying. I'm sorry. crying. and he says, Ribono Shel Olam, Sader Zmanim Shonim V'itim Shonot. Hashem gives us different sets of times. Zehu Sod HaZman, this is the secret of time. L'kol Matzav Berishima, in every situation that's on this list, Yesh Amal HaMatim Lo, there's a certain avodah, there's a certain work that's required. L'kol Eit Yesh Chifetz, for every time there is a Chifetz. Chifetz is Ratzon Hashem. Kitzad Lifo Boto Matzav, how Hashem wants us to act in that situation. L'mashal, Im HaAdam Chole, let's say someone's sick. He can feel bitter, he can feel frustrated. He can also rest and to regain his strength. Sometimes a woman is pregnant. She's totally exhausted. She doesn't need to be depressed. She needs to just rest. That is her job. That is the job that she's put in. And I was reading this, and I was, you know, feeling so frustrated. Sometimes, you know, like, I was pregnant and feeling like I couldn't do anything. I was just a schmatz. I couldn't accomplish anything. The house was falling apart. I couldn't work. I couldn't focus on anything. But then you read this, and you realize that, you know what? Hashem puts us into the situation, and we need to do what's appropriate for that time. And we can't just say, well, you know, I'm in this situation, so, like, that's it. I can't do anything. Rather, we have control over that time, and we can just try to figure out what can we do, what can we work on, given the life circumstance that we're in at that point. There's a very famous book, Man's Search for Meaning, by Viktor Frankl, a lot of you are probably familiar with. Viktor Frankl was in the Auschwitz, and he wrote a book in 1946 talking about his experiences in the concentration camp. And he says, everything can be taken from a man but one thing. The last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. Right? So basically, you can be a slave, you can be in concentration camp, and there's one thing that's not taken away from you, and that is that you can choose the attitude. How are you going to react to the circumstances that you were put in? Right? As slaves, we might feel we might have felt as slaves, that given the circumstances, there's nothing that they can do. They're unable to do anything positive with their time, with themselves, because they're slaves. But the message here is that you need to react appropriately to the situations you've been placed in. You can't control the situations you are placed in, but you can control how you react to it. So we need to take whatever situation, whatever time we're placed into, and control how we react to it. And in that way, we can take control over our time. So on Rosh Chodesh, we're given a twofold assignment. Number one, we need to analyze how have we been using our time for the past month? How productive have we been with our time? And number two, how have we reacted to the time situations that we've been placed into? Are we dealing with it? Are we handling those challenging times? And Mr. Shetman, if we can take advantage of every single Rosh Chodesh, not only to come to the seminar, but also to take a few minutes, take a little break, maybe during the break, if there's time, and do a little bit of a time-bound cheshbon hanefesh, and really analyze what's going on with our usage of time. And in that way, we can really make a conscious and consistent effort to continuously improve the way that we are living our lives. Thank you very much. So Rabbi Krakowski, who I hope is coming in a minute, I figured that Pesach is a little bit of a complicated time in Israel, right? And sometimes it's a bit challenging to understand really how all the things work. He's going to talk a little bit about koshering and just in terms of koshering our own kitchens, but I think the main thing that you want to be able to, there's going to be a question and answer time, and what you want to be able to get from him is here we have, Rabbi Krakowski is the OU koshers department, and he really is the one who gives the OU Israel hashgacha on any products that you see here, knows the whole world of what's going on in the hashgachos in Israel. And so all those questions that you have when you go into a supermarket and you see, well, over here it says, you know, there's a hashgacha from here, but here it says, oh, you know, whatever questions you have, whether the kitnios or the oils and all the questions that you have in the grocery store. So those questions, already write them down. Make sure you ask him, because this is your chance to really talk to an expert in the field who can really tell you what's going on out there. He'll be here in a few minutes, so if anyone wants to just take a break and get a drink or get something to eat, you can do that, and we will continue in a few minutes.